All right, today in baseball, I think one of the biggest topics in baseball, shifting. And the Giants do it, but I think when you look at how all this started, you got to look back to the Pittsburgh Pirates and Clint Hurdle, a team that was having a lot of trouble. And our guest, he wrote Big Data Baseball. His name is Travis Sawchuk. It's a very highly acclaimed book in the industry. It's kind of the money ball of shifting in baseball. And Travis is with us. Travis, a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great. Tell us a little bit about the book and how it came about. Then we want to find out how the Pirates bought into this thing, because it was such a radical departure from the way baseball was played.
Yeah, it started with an idea. I was curious why the Pirates, you know, they had this North American pro sports record of 20 straight losing seasons. Going into 2013, Clint Hurdle, Neil Huntington, their jobs were at stake. There's a lot of public pressure on them, and they weren't going to have the benefit of enjoying a nine-figure free agent, like a John Lester-type pitcher come in on a white horse and save the day. They had to somehow add wins without changing much of their roster, adding much payroll, and even most of their top prospects weren't ready to contribute in 2013. So they really pivoted into adopting a lot of these big data-based strategies, from defensive shifting through enhancing the shifts with a record ground ball rate. They did make one small investment, or a large investment for them, in Russell Martin. And even though he was hitting .220 a year before in New York, they wanted him because of his pitch training skills, which had just been quantified a few years earlier. So they thought there's hidden value in saving runs. You know, Moneyball is about buying wins through on base percentage, which is not taken advantage of properly. Whereas Pirates, they looked at the landscape and they saw most teams weren't shifting as much as they should be. They certainly weren't shifting as much as they should be. So they ended up ending this 20-year losing streak in 2013 through increasing their shifts by 500%, creating that record ground ball rate, as I noted, and they saved, I think it was 90 or 100 more runs than they had a year before, largely to adopting these strategies. And I just thought it was really interesting how they really came to buy into these concepts and how they really made an impact on the field.
Now, Clint Hurdle, Travis Sawchuk is with us. Fans, the book is very interesting, Big Data Baseball. Clint Hurdle's an old-time guy. Heck, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, you know, a tough man.
Sure.
And, to bring in all the spray charts and all the data and all that, it took a lot of nerve on his part to adopt it, didn't it?
It did. He looks like a traditional base. I mean, kind of looks like a cowboy. I mean, this is about as old school as they get. And I think Hurdle deserves a lot of credit. I mean, part of this was necessity, which is, he had to do something different to try to save his job in 2013. But I do think he deserves credit for creating this culture of collaboration, because almost every team going into 2013 had at least one number crunching analyst. Most teams had several of them, but not every team was getting buy-in from coaches and players. And I think Hurdle deserves a lot of credit for, I mean, even the first day of full squad workouts in 2013, he had the Pirates' top analyst, Dan Fox, and his assistant, Mike Fitzgerald, come join him in front of all the players and coaches in the cafeteria at their spring training complex. And he said, look, these guys are here to help you. You're asking them questions. You're going to be around all season. And, you know, respect these guys. You're not better than them. And from day one of 2013, there's a focus on integrating different wings, different people in the organization, and breaking down barriers that had been up. And Hurdle's trust and belief in this, because he'd been on a couple years earlier and he had not adopted the shifts. He'd kept Dan Fox blank, but he developed a relationship with Fox that really grew at the end of 2012. They started to meet more regularly. They found they had interest outside of baseball. The trust level went up. So I think that helped, along with seeing that these ideas were actually adopted at the minor league level first in 2010, 2011, 2012. And Hurdle's efficiency ratings go up at their affiliates. So I think that relationship with Fox and seeing the minor league impact helped him buy in to these ideas, thereby the players and coaches going into 2013.
Travis, was there one hitter in the major leagues that inspired or motivated the shift more than any other? Or was it kind of just baseball-wide?
Yeah, I think we saw the left-handed power hitters, I think, in the late 90s, early 2000s. I think some of them started to be shifted upon. So I'm not sure it's one, but I think we saw Jim Thome, Barry Bonds. I believe they were probably shifted on. somewhat regularly in the early mid-2000s. But, the Ted Williams shift is famous for, a lot of people credit that with being the first shift in baseball history in 1946, but there have been other examples. So I'm not sure there's one guy. I think, the problem was for decades there was no hard evidence that you should do this, but in the book, it's not just about the Pirates. It's about a lot of the people behind the scenes in the industry and inside the industry that provided this information. And it wasn't really until Baseball Info Solutions and John DeWan sort of recording every batted ball that teams finally had hard evidence of, okay, this is where every major league hitter, where his batted ball tendencies. So it wasn't until the 90s, really, that this data was even available. And that's why there's such a lag time.
Boy, interesting. Really, it's very interesting. Travis Sawchik, S-A-W-C-H-I-K. The book is Big Data Baseball. All right. How do the Giants fit into this whole thing? And we look at the Pirates, and I guess they're the vanguard, maybe Tampa Bay as well. How do the Giants fit into this whole scheme of overall shifting?
Yeah, I think, I don't know what their numbers are this year. I think the Giants, ESPN the magazine did an analytics issue. They kind of ranked every front office by how sabermetric friendly they were. And I can't remember where the Giants ranked in that. I think they were in the middle of the pack. I think the Pirates are in the top six. So I think the Pirates are viewed, or the Giants, sorry, are viewed by the industry as sort of being a hybrid where they have a lot of traditional men in the front office who have been together for a long, 19, 20 years. But they've also, I think, probably not been credited with being a little more inventive. And they're right there in Silicon Valley, so I'm sure they've, there's a lot of resources to reach out there, too. So I don't know what the shift numbers are this year to date for the Giants, but I suspect they're probably in the middle of the pack somewhere. You probably know their shift tendencies more than I do since you've seen them.
Well, it's sort of getting used to seeing it. Sure. It doesn't stick out as much. You sort of take it for granted. Travis Sawchik with us. What do you think about Rob Manfred saying, no more shifting, we want more offense? What do you think about that?
I think Manfred has a lot of good ideas. I do not think that was one of them. You hate to see, or at least I do, you hate to see a commissioner or anyone kind of put false constraints on how defenses want to align themselves in any sport. So I don't think the answer to baseball's offensive woes is to draw arbitrary lines and tell defenders where they should be played. I think that's up to the hitters really to adjust and the offensive minds to counteract what's been going on defensively. I will say, when you look at all the data in the game, from pitch effects to shifting to quantifying pitch framing, almost all of it is favored defensive play, from scouting opponents to aligning against hitters. So I do think, hitters could use some technology, some advancement in their favor, but I'm not sure just artificial constraints to boost offense is the right idea.
Pat, one last question, Pat. I want to ask Travis this. Where does all this go? What's next? We're almost at we have so much information. You see in the dugout, they open up a binder. It looks like a trial binder. Where is all this going?
Right. Yeah, I think, this year their StatCast is online, which tracks players and ball flight in every major league stadium. So there's a huge avalanche of information that just came into the game this year. But I think the biggest market inefficiency out there right now is keeping players healthy and on the field. And I know the Pirates were curious. They were investigating the Golden State Warriors this offseason because they were curious in how the Warriors reduced starters' minutes and saw their efficiency improve. And they thought, there's some database evidence where we should do this with Andrew McCutchen or Starling Marte, reduce their playing time a little bit, maybe their performance improves.
Interesting.
How can we keep pitchers on the mound more often and reduce DL stints? So the Pirates had the fewest days lost to DL last season. So I think the next big thing in baseball is keep players healthy and when they're on the field, maximizing their efficiency.
Wow, very good. Interesting. Thanks,
Travis.
What
if they'll reduce ticket prices if the Stars aren't playing?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's why they want to go to 154 games.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, most importantly, Travis, I got to ask, if Manfred does eliminate the shift, does that hurt or help your book sales?
any publicity is good publicity, right?
So
as long as they spell your name right. That's
yeah. Big time.
Hey, appreciate having you on. Very, very interesting. And it's a great book. I've enjoyed thumbing through it. And the Pirates come into town Monday, so I'm gonna watch much more intently how they set up on every play. And that's because of what we've talked about. So, Travis, thank you so much.
Right on, Travis.
Oh, Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, very good. Big Dad of Baseball.